Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. You know, as a Christian, one of the first things you have to do before you become a Christian is to respond. When you hear the Word of God, the gospel concerning your salvation, it was nice. They preached to you. They told you that, you know, Jesus came and died on your behalf, so you don't have to go to hell now. But it's not enough to hear that message. You have to respond. Are you in this place? Can we put off this fan? Whoever is in there, thank you. It's not enough to hear that message. You have to respond. So when they told you Jesus died for you, you had to say, yes, I believe he died for me. When they told you God raised him up from the dead and confess him as your Lord, you had to say, yes, I believe that. So one of the first things you do when you become a Christian, or before you even become a Christian, is to respond. And if you have to respond for the most important thing in your life, the salvation, you have to learn to respond to the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have to learn to respond to the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Now, in Love Haven Church, it's our year of laughter and our month of change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And one sign that you are alive is that things should be changing, even physically. Your face should be changing. You don't look the same way you look when you were 2 years old. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your height should be changing. Some people have stopped, but at least your face should be changing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So once things are changing, it means that you are alive. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It means that you're not stagnant. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to cause a change in your life. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with power. Power is the ability to change things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you have power, you can change something. For example, the guy wants... Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Pay attention to me, okay? Okay. The guy wants to get a job in an oil company. He has the good results. He has everything that he needs. But it's getting difficult. And then someone says, you know, I know the CEO. He can help you. He has power. Do you understand? He's a powerful man in that company. When they say the CEO of the oil company is a powerful man in that company, it doesn't mean he's the bouncer. Doesn't mean he's the security man. He's not the guy that if thief is coming, because he's the powerful man in that company, come and start fighting with thieves. That's not what happens. He's powerful because he can make changes in that company. Are you seeing it? If they have been denying you access, he can do something and they will grant you access. So he can change your state from denial to accepted. Praise the Lord. And that's why he's a powerful man in the company. So when you hear power, it's not about muscles. It's about someone that can effect a change. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
If you saw a guy with big muscles coming, he can't even pass the door because the muscle is too big and he's coming. And then somehow we decide to fight with somebody, let's say Folu, for example, and they are fighting. And Folu just gives him one blow and he falls down and starts crying. What do you think? He says he doesn't have power. He's just deceiving us with muscles. He doesn't have power. You, in your mind, relate power to change. Someone that can effect a change. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, you receive power. That means one of the first things the Holy Spirit does for you is to cause you to be able to change things. Change things you don't like. Praise the Lord. When Jesus was on this earth, he changed things. I said it last week in church in Lagos. He changed water to wine. That's a powerful man. Are you seeing it? Because he changed things. Are you in this place? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. He changed water to wine. When the girl, he found out that Jairus' daughter was about to die, and then she died, he brought her up from the dead. Meaning, he had power. He changed the situation. Are you in this place?
Yes,
they told him Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Has it ever happened to you before? Maybe you're using your faith. You're a good Christian. You're using your faith. And they tell you, you want to go out. And then the weather becomes dark. And you've been learning about faith. And you say, this rain will not fall. So they came to tell Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Guess what? Lazarus died. Just like you said, this rain will not fall. He said, are you sure you want to go out? He said, I'm using my faith. I'm not even taking an umbrella. The rain will not fall. And you come out of your house, the rain, there's no rain. You walk to the bus stop, there's no rain. You know if rain falls at the bus stop, you can still run out. You say, ah, my faith is working. Even though the breeze is blowing, say it's working. And so you walk, 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 and then the rain from nowhere. And then you just think, this thing doesn't work. They've been deceiving us since. So now Jesus said in John 11, when they told him that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Guess what? Lazarus died. So you see, it's not only you, it happened to Jesus. He said something, and something else happened. Lazarus died. When he said this sickness is not unto death, his disciples were there. The people that they sent to tell him, they were there. They left. They didn't go. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I wish you know your Bible, because I'm going to talk in the Word. When Jesus just came into a city, Jairus came and called him and said, please, master, come. My daughter is about to die. Please come. So he left what he was doing and he followed Jairus because he heard his daughter was about to die. So he knew I could do something about that situation. Now he's on his own. They tell him Lazarus is sick. He says this sickness is not unto death. And to prove his point, he doesn't follow them. He remains there. They go. The people heard about Jairus' daughter. Are you in this place? And they said, if this man said this sickness is not unto death, that means Lazarus will not die. Then they go back and say, good news. Leave this thing. Don't even give him tablet again. Jesus said he's not going to die. Guess what? He dies. And Jesus is there. If it was you, what would you do? You say, God has just embarrassed me right now. But you know what? At times, things come to test your faith like that. And that's why I'm showing you it happened to Jesus. That is not enough reason to give up. Like the guy wants to pay school fees and he doesn't have enough money and he's believing God, the money will come, money will come, money will come. He goes to the exam hall in faith, money will come, and they kick him out. Now he doesn't want to have anything to do with church again. Let me tell you something. If your faith did not work, in quotes, you had something to learn that you had not learned. Are you in this place? Because right here, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. And Lazarus died. And Jesus did not doubt God. He told disciples, let's go. Why? He said the man will not die. So if the man died, something would have to happen. Are you in this place? That's the way to think. That's the thought of a victor. When I've said something, even if the opposite happens, I'll remain in where I've said or what I've said, and what I said would have to come to pass. So when he arrived at the place, at the tomb, you know the story. You know the story. He found out that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. You know, when someone dies for 4 days, the person begins to decay. You know, right? If the person died 2 minutes ago, still looking fresh, the person can still smile. He can say, get up, and the person gets up. If it's after 1 day, he's still okay. The person is still looking okay. After 4 days, the person begins to decay. That means there is no hope for a resurrection, naturally. Are you in this place? There is no hope. Because if the person begins to decay, now you need more than a resurrection. The body would have to heal. Are you in this place? So when Jesus came, he found out that he had been dead 4 days. He just said, 4 days. How many hours did Jairus' daughter die? 1 hour. In 4 days. Let's go. It's not possible. You know, when he got to, this is not my message, but let me show you. John 11. Go to John 11. I just want to show you how wonderful Jesus is. You know, some people act as though what is happening to them is only them it's happening to. It's only them. I use my faith, did not work. Only me, I don't know. Calm down. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Calm down. Someone says, since I gave my life to Christ, I thought everything would be okay. People would start liking me. On the contrary, they are not born wicked. Relax. The guy you're following, you know they killed him. At least they've not killed you yet. Okay, they killed him. So literally, there's almost nothing that you can tell is happening in your life right now that Jesus did not have an experience and did not tell us what to do in that situation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. At times, you're not praying alone. You love Jesus so much. You're not praying. Then you go back home. For no reason, someone starts beating you. For no reason. Satan is angry that you prayed. but it should not be moved. John 11, are you there? Are you there?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at this. I like this so much. Verse 41. Are you in 41?
Yes.
All right. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, oh, praise the Lord. All along, when he heard Lazarus had died, you notice he didn't even talk to God. He didn't say, God, why? God, why? See epic embarrassment. That's not what he said. He kept quiet. Now we'll finally hear what he's going to tell God. 41. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, the day I said this sickness is not unto death, I knew you heard me. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, I knew you heard me. Even if this man died, you heard when I said this is not unto death. That means something must have to happen. If he was still alive and I said he should not die, then he died. That means he has to come back to life. And right there, let's look at it. And I knew, verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always. So while he was traveling, he knew God heard him. Are you seeing the confidence Jesus had? He knew. He said, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of people who stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Let's say together, I want to go. Lazarus! I want you to see a miracle. Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth. And you know what? He was not smelling. Did you notice? He was not smelling. But he had started to decay. But he was not smelling. Meaning that the miracle was complete. Praise the Lord. I said all of that to say Jesus changed situations. So Lazarus had died. But then, and you know, the miracle was complete. The man did not resurrect from the dead and said, okay, that sickness I have, I still have it. Now pray for me. No, it was complete. He was fine. So Jesus changed things. But you know, Jesus knew he wasn't going to be on the earth forever. And so while he was going, he said, the Holy Spirit would come and you will receive power. Now, if someone is sick in your house, Jesus doesn't have to come and knock at the door. The Holy Spirit is in you and you can change the situation. Praise the Lord. He said, those that believe will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will change the situation of the sick person and the sick person will be well. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is not what I want to talk about. But I want you to just know that as a Christian, it's never too late. You can change situations. God expects you to change things. Praise the Lord. And when you're trying to change something, maybe you said something and the opposite is happening. Remain in your position of faith. Don't be weak. There are too many people that are weak. They're expecting money by 9. It's 4 o'clock. The money has not come. They go and tell someone, the money has not come. The money will not come. Because you're doubting. Remain in your position of faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Yeah. But let's go into the message for today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Should I tell you something? Listen. Whatever you want from God right now, whatever you want in your life right now, do like Jesus. Say it and don't doubt in your heart. Even if everything is pushing you to say something different. Maybe there's a swelling in your leg and you say the swelling is healed in the name of Jesus. The first day, nothing changes. The second day, it gets bigger. The third day, it gets bigger. Don't change what you have said. It's called a fight of faith. That means that you have to fight. You have to be strong. Something would have to give way, and it will not be you. It will be that swelling. So don't change what you have said, because too many people give up. And then they come and say it doesn't work. It's not true. It works. It works. You just gave up too soon. Works. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. After this service, you learn to talk even bolder. Because that's what we're going to look at today. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. All right, I'm waiting. But you're going to pay all of us for waiting. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Am I still waiting for someone? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. I'll read it. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Let me read that again. Look into your Bible. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. It says, for he said, who is talking? God. I have heard thee in a time accepted. Oh, so there's an accepted time. Are you in this place? Not every time is accepted. Did you notice that? Are you paying attention to me? Okay. Remember, nobody's a witch in this place. So, I may not be able to read your mind. You have to talk. Okay? All right. Verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. That means there's an accepted time. So not every time is an accepted time. God says, I've heard you in the time accepted. So other times I didn't hear you, but now I have heard you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Put that in your mind. He says, and in the day of salvation, I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He says, today, now, this is the time. He doesn't promise tomorrow. He doesn't look back at yesterday. He says, today is the time. You know, you have some people who have delayed in getting born again. They are pushing it. They want to enjoy their lives first. If you are not born again, you've not even started enjoyment. You are in trouble. You are inside trouble living. You don't even know, but you're in trouble. Jesus said, the one that has not believed, John the Baptist said so. He said, the wrath of God is upon him. That means trouble is on his head. He's destined for trouble. So the guy says, I don't want to get born again now. I want to finish school first. Then, you know, by the time I'm 45, I can now become an elder in church. He doesn't promise you tomorrow. Who told you you're going to live till 45? Your time in this earth might be 20 years. It might be 30 years. Do you remember John the Baptist? You know, immediately Jesus appeared, his time on the earth began to disappear. He was 6 months older than Jesus. Jesus started ministry at age what? 30. That means his time span, the time God gave him to live in this world, was no more than 31. And he was still a young person. He was a servant of God. No, he didn't do anything bad. His time elapsed at 31. And so the guy who says tomorrow, God doesn't promise you tomorrow. He says, better take it today. Now is the time. Praise the Lord. I remember a story by Maurice Serlo, how he said they had, you know, a crusade. And in that crusade, some people came, they wanted to get born again. And he noticed a young girl, she was crying amongst the congregation. She was crying. She was crying. And so he went to meet her and said, why are you crying? Are you born again? She said, no. He said, so why are you crying? Don't you want to get born again? She said, no. He said, why? Why don't you want to get born again? She said, he won't let me. So he asked, who won't let you? She said, her boyfriend won't let her. And so, you know, some people's face now. Like Phoebe. So he begged her and begged her and begged her. And she was crying. She wanted to. But he won't let her. Maybe he was the one feeding her. Who knows? He won't let her. And so he said, all right. They closed the meeting and she left. And while he was with his people, someone came and met him and said, that lady you were begging, she just had an accident and she's dead. Just a few hours later. Maybe that's why she was crying. Crying for her life. She didn't know. She's dead. No other opportunity. He said when he heard it, he cried. He said, if I had known, I would have persisted. I'm saying that to say this verse, he doesn't promise you tomorrow. He says now, today, now, now, now. Don't waste time. Now is the time of salvation. It's the day of salvation. But salvation doesn't just mean salvation from hell. Are you listening to me? Doesn't just mean salvation from hell. Salvation is an English word. If someone, praise the Lord, if you're standing outside the gate and you saw a baby, the baby left the mother and is running to cross the road. You know, babies like to act as though they are superheroes. So, running to cross the road. And then a trailer was coming. And you saw the trailer. And you ran. And you rescued the baby. You have saved that baby. Right? Come on, you've saved the baby, right? Did you save the baby from hell?
No.
What did you save the baby from? Accident. So you see, salvation doesn't just mean salvation from hell. Someone can be saved from accident. Praise the Lord. If one day you get into your compound and you see your neighbor talking to one woman, and you know the woman has this hair tie that is very long and red, and that's why you recognize the woman. And she's talking with your neighbor, and your neighbor is listening. The neighbor say, ah, and they come. Then runs to the house. And you know the woman. What the woman does is she's a fraudster. She tells them, bring 200,000, I give you 1 million. And you know. You have experience. And then you follow your neighbor. And you tell your neighbor, don't do anything with that woman. You're going to lose money. You have saved your neighbor. Are you seeing it? You did not save your neighbor from hell. You saved your neighbor from financial wahala. Are you seeing it? So salvation also means salvation from financial wahala, from poverty. Someone wants to eat beans and ogbono soup together. How old is the ogbono soup? 2 weeks. How old is the beans? 1 month. And the person doesn't know. And maybe the person takes salt and wants to put in the food. But that salt is mixed with insecticide. And you're looking at the person. The person might not die if the person eats the food. But the person will get really sick. Now, if you go and tell the person, don't eat that food, you have saved the person from sickness. I just want to show you that salvation is an all-encompassing word. All-encompassing. Doesn't just mean salvation from hell. Yes, God saved you from hell, but you're still in this world. There are still accidents that happen. There are still fire outbreaks. There are still financial problems that happen, even to Christians. But salvation is a total package. And he wants to save you from that problem. He wants to save you from that accident. Praise the Lord. He wants to save you from that sickness. You have some folks that they have family disease. Everybody in the family has it. Everybody. But God wants to save you. Go to Luke 19. Luke 19. You've been faithful, Lord, from the ages past, and we know your name is forevermore. You've been faithful, God. You've been faithful, Lord, from the ages past, and we know your name is forevermore. Verse 9. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 9, read it. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus told us his mission. He said, I came to look for and to save the person who was lost. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. All right. I said salvation is not limited to salvation from hell. But Jesus said, I came to save the one that was lost. I came to seek and to save. So he met different individuals when he walked on the earth. He met different people. Now, this Luke 19, do you know who he's talking about or he's talking to? He's talking to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a rich man, but he was a tax collector, and he was hated. And he was a sinner because he used to dupe people. And so Jesus came to his house. Jesus was passing by, and Zacchaeus was not very tall. And so he ran to the sycamore tree to look at Jesus just to see him pass. And while Jesus was passing, Jesus goes to the tree and stops there. I'm sure Zacchaeus' heart would have been beating. Hey. Because he knew he was a bad guy. Do you understand? So he didn't even want to talk to Jesus. He just wants to see him passing. Let it be that he has seen him. And now Jesus is hiding in a tree. Do you understand? Jesus is passing. And now Jesus goes to the tree and stops there. And looks up. Mary thinks, ha! All my sin will come out today. And just said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house. And he went to his house and then said, listen, today salvation has come to your house. So Zacchaeus repented immediately. He said, anybody that I've duped, I'll return what I stole. And I'm going to give half of my properties to the poor. He was ready to change. So that was Zacchaeus. Jesus also met sick people, like the lame man in John chapter 5 that had not walked for 38 years. And when Jesus met him, he said, "Will thou be made whole?" He asked him a question, "Do you want to be well?" So what was he going to do then? He saved Zacchaeus, are in this place, from sin. Now he's going to save the man in John chapter 5. He's going to save him from sickness. Because the guy was paralyzed for 38 years. So he says, do you want to be well? The man said, listen, it's not like I don't want to be well. Okay, go there, John chapter 5. What a good man. He didn't insult Jesus. Imagine someone is paralyzed on a wheelchair and go and meet him, do you want to be well? I said, do you think I'm joking? No, do you think this is a joke? Get away from me. He was a nice man. Verse 6. If you're there, say, I'm there. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? The important man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. While I am coming, another stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and what? Walk. That was his time of salvation. Are you seeing it? Are you in this place?
Yes, awesome.
Don't be distracted either by the sound or these people chucking phone on your face. All right? They are doing their own business. Their job is to chuck the phone. Your job is to pay attention. Praise the Lord. Okay? All right. So Jesus meets him here, verse 8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and what? Walk. So that day was the day of salvation from sickness for that man. He had been there for a very long time. He had been sick for 38 years. Now Jesus meets him and says, hey, do you want to be well? The man talks. Jesus said, you know what? Get up and walk. And the man got up and he started what? Walking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Started walking. He had just been saved from sickness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So that was his time. So I'm trying to say that just like he doesn't promise you tomorrow concerning salvation from hell, he doesn't promise you tomorrow concerning salvation from sickness. Today is your day. And that's good news. Praise the Lord. It's good news. Today is your day. When would you finally have enough money not to borrow? Today is that day.
Amen.
If you're ready, today is that day. At times I just think, how big is God? What can he not do? So why is it not manifest in your life? If he can do anything, someone says, God can do anything. No, God can do anything. Do you really believe that? Do you believe it? Jesus believed it. He'll tell his father, he says, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Do you believe it? Right now, I just said, when would you have enough cash that you don't have to borrow? Everybody will say amen, but do you believe it? Do you really believe that today something will change? Or that is what happens in church? In church, everybody says amen. Please let me tell you something. You're in this place for yourself. You might not know, but let me tell you now. Because I told you, everybody has his particular time on this earth. Your own might be 40. Someone else's own might be 50. Someone says, no, me, I will not die, but live to see my children. Okay, your own might be 120. But everybody has his time in this world. That means that, and you know what? Time is something that when you give, you cannot get back. And so your time is the most precious, not money. I can give you money and get it back. You can come and say, you want to take my blazer by force. I will buy again. You can give car, you get it back. But time, you cannot get back. And so when you're in church for yourself. Don't waste this time. Because the other guy that is paying up and down, you don't know if God gave him 500 years. And you 60. So don't waste time. So while you're here in church, if, for example, I said, that sickness would end today. Everybody can say amen, but if you are sick, you should be serious about your own amen. You should not say because everybody is saying it, because you don't know their own issues, but you know your own. Before I became a pastor, I started pastoring. When I came to church, I sit down. If you see me, the service is, I don't care about distraction. Anywhere the minister is talking, I'm taking it. Are you in this place? Talking about, is the minister just mentioned? It might not be my case. All right? Maybe I came in, maybe with a pain in my head. Maybe. Are you in this place? And then the minister is talking and talks about, God is about to raise billionaires. I will not say, it's not for me, oh. My own is pain in head. Millionaires. I will take it, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We can live with everything. Healing, money, everything. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God can do anything. All right. So today is that day. Are you in this place? Today is that day. But it's not enough to know it is time. You know, the theme for today's meeting is it's time. All right? Great. It's not enough to know today is that day. The question is, what should I do with that information? I'll give you an example. Have you been in a bank before and you had a lot of people waiting for one thing, maybe to meet the customer service? Has that happened to you before? You were in a bank and all of you are waiting. Or maybe you're in HOD office or somewhere. All of you are waiting for something, Sha. Can I see your hand? Some people, that's not happened to them before. Congratulations. All right? It will soon happen. Okay. But you're all waiting for something. All right? And now, they've been calling people. It's not your turn. You are number 502. They've been calling people. They call 501. Now it is your time. When they call 502, you don't see them say, ha, finally. Hey, finally. You start dancing. Hey, finally. Finally. And they're shouting, 502, he says, me. It's me. Is that normal? If they call your name or your number, you have work to do. You have to get up from that place and answer the call. Are you in this place? Yes. So now you know it's your time. They've called your number, but then you have a job to do. So now that it is time for salvation from whatever you're going through, the question is, so what should I do? What should I do with that information? For example, in the beginning verse, he said, it is time, it is the day of salvation. So what should I do with that information? Let's look at something. Romans 10. I'm about to close now, so pay attention. Romans 10. Praise the Lord. Romans 10. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Someone says, why are we singing now? Why are we singing? why are we singing? That's quite a song already. Praise the Lord. Some people are always angry. Always suspicious. They might not be angry, but they are suspicious. We are singing. What's happening? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. That means joy means strength. The man who is joyful is strong. And you don't wait for something to make you joyful. Your life should not be dependent on someone else's actions. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
Your life should not be dependent on someone else's actions. You don't wait until someone makes you happy. Because I want someone to make me happy. You know, some people, they go to like 9 of 1,000 laughs. And they are laughing at dry jokes. It's always funny. I like to look at the audience. Because you can see the pain. They have to laugh because they spent money. So the man comes and say, Nigeria, it go better for you. Why is he laughing? It's not funny. But he spent money. And he has to use the money. Praise the Lord. No, you don't need someone to make you laugh. You don't need someone to make you happy. You don't need someone to make you joyful. You are in charge of your own life by the power of the Holy Ghost. So you can sing without being provoked to sing. Are you in this place?
Yes.
You can, because if you live your life, you say, until someone makes me happy, that's when I'll be happy. Wait till someone wants to kill you. You really die. When someone wants to kill you, does that mean you should die? No. So you don't wait. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm saying that because me, I'll sing plenty songs and nobody should ask questions. All right, verse 9. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. All right. When he says confess with thy mouth, it doesn't mean confession of sins. Some people say you have to confess all your sins. Sin of omission, sin of commission, sin you don't remember, even when you were 3 years old. That is unrealistic. Because you cannot confess all your sins. Let me tell you something. Are you paying attention to me?
Yes.
If you were coming through this door and you mistakenly hit the usher and you did not know, you were coming and you hit the usher, you say, and you didn't know, you just passed and entered. You've offended that usher. But you don't know. If now we say, come and tell us everybody you have offended, you've not mentioned that usher. So if God was forgiving you based on what you can remember, you are doomed. Because there are people you have offended, you don't remember. Right now, if I say you've done something wrong, I want God to forgive you, you think, what have I not asked God for forgiveness? Okay. My mom sent me to buy something. I kept the change. So you come and confess. But you don't remember when you were 6 years old, you stole meat from the pot. So if God was going to forgive you based on the confession of sins that you have confessed, you will not finish. In fact, as you are finishing confessing the sin, you will do another one. Say, please, I'm sorry. Let me remember. Then when you finish confessing that one, you remember another one. You say, later. Even pushing the confession of that sin, you have sinned. So you have to go. So he says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. He said, no, speak with your mouth. Say, Jesus is Lord of my life. That's what that means. So he says, so are you saying we should not confess all our sin again? Before you get born again, that's unnecessary. Why? Because you can't remember all the sins. That's why he came. Are you in this place? That sin you're confessing, he already died for it. So what he wants you to say is, accept. Praise the Lord. Accept. So he says, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, say no, use your mouth and say, Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is now my master. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Look at this. He had said, now is the time of salvation. But even if now is the time of salvation, he says you have to do something. You have to speak and you have to believe. Are you in this place? Like I said, if you're in that hall and they finally call your number, you have to do something. You have to answer the call. So if it is now it's time for you to be saved from hell. You know it is time. He says now you have to say something. You have to believe. You believe that Jesus died for you. And then you say with your mouth, he is Lord of what? My life. Okay. Remember I said salvation doesn't just mean salvation from hell. Are you in this place? Doesn't just mean salvation from hell. It means salvation from poverty. It means salvation from sickness. Listen to this. If the greatest salvation of them all, salvation from hell, all you had to do was to believe and to talk, that means any other salvation under them, because the Bible says the lesser is included in the greater. Are you in this place? Let me give you an example of what that means. If I want to buy this building, this is a big building, All right? So I want to buy it. And I said, how much? And they tell me the price. Then someone comes and says, you know, you don't even need, you can buy the whole warfare. The whole of warfare is bigger than this building. Right? This building is lesser. But when I buy the whole of warfare, the lesser is included in what? The greater. Now, the greatest salvation of them all is salvation from hell. Salvation from sin. If the method required to be saved in the greatest salvation is to believe and to speak, that means the lesser ones, salvation from sickness, salvation from poverty, salvation from bad decision, it is the same method. So if I said, I declare today Jesus is Lord of my life, that means I have no business in hell. In hell, that's where Satan is Lord. Do you understand? Jesus is Lord of my life. And by that confession, I am saved. That means the day I decide this sickness is over, the sickness will be over. To be over. The day I decide I refuse to walk in confusion, confusion will stop. You have some people going around, they have become evangelists of confusion. Evangelists of I'm confused. Anybody they meet, I'm just confused. I'm about to finish school. I don't know what to do. That is all they say. I'm about to finish. I don't know what to do. I don't know which business to go into. Have you heard people like that? Anytime you meet them, they never know what to do. They come, I'm asking for your advice. It's not true. They just want to tell you because when you give them advice, they'll not take it. I don't know what to do. I'm just confused. I don't know what to do. I'm just confused. The day you change that confusion, it's like the guy who says, I don't know what to do. I'm going to hell. I don't know what to do. I'm going to hell. Is that what we're saving? Come on, talk to me. Is that what we're saving? If he comes to church and says, I'm about to go to hell. I'm about to go to hell. Will the angel Michael now jump down and say, no, don't go to hell. Is that what's going to happen? No. Even if he knows something is wrong, he would have to believe and what? Say something. And you know what? I love God so much. He doesn't tell you to speak the negative. He tells you to project yourself to where you want to be. So instead of saying, I don't know what to do, I'm confused. No, he said, the Lord is the light of my life. I have direction. Someone can say, is it that easy? I like to remind you, because you have people who always laugh at this thing, say, name it and claim it. Every time, speak. That's how they are. They like laughing. They think they are wise. But you ask them, this world that you see like this, both the simple things and the complicated things, do you know how it came? Because somebody spoke. If speaking, because you say the matter is very complicated. Matter is very complicated, not just by talking, not time to talk. It's a complicated matter. That complication came about because one day God spoke. If speaking produced complicated things, speaking will remove it. To remove it. Say, believe in your heart. Believe it. Believe it. Can you believe? And say today, from today, confusion has stopped in my life. From today, I'm no longer disadvantaged. Some people, they are always at the back. They are calling everybody. They say they need 50 people. They are number 49. They are calling. When they get to 45, they say, we don't need again. We don't need. And they've stayed there since. They are always disadvantaged. And you know what? If you listen to them, you will not be surprised because that is how they talk. Now, when the guy entered, they were calling a few people, say, thank God though. Thank God I'm number 49. I just pray that they will call the number finisher. The guy is number 40, say, is this stopping? Yeah, I've said it though. I said, is this stopping? 40. Is this stopping? Okay. 41. Thank God. Then they stop at 45. And you will act shocked. Say, why now? Why did this happen to me? Did you listen to yourself? You were not expecting to be called. So he's always disadvantaged. They are giving people promotion. It's not him. They are adding 2 marks to everybody's score to push them to the next level. The guy got 68. They add 2 marks. He's now 70A. The lady got 59. They add 2 marks. He's now 61B. Him. By the time they want to ask, let's just say, you have tried. How many people have you asked for? 100. You have tried. And what did he need? 1 mark. Not to fail the course and repeat. Say, you have tried. It's the way he talks. The day he starts speaking rightly, he will catapult himself. He will save himself from that disadvantage. You are a reflection of the things that you say. You are. A reflection. He said, this country, no man, no man. Why haven't you gotten a job? I don't know anybody now. No, that's even a lie. You know God. And he's bigger than all. Are you in this place? That's even a lie. So I don't know anybody now. The person who they know for government. Now they help. The Bible says the government shall be upon your shoulders. You know someone who is greater than any governor. Are you in this place? You know someone. But by the time you have said it's man, no man, and you have also admitted you don't know anybody, are you not seeing that your future is not bright with your own mouth? Are you not seeing where you have placed yourself? The guy puts himself, you know, hallelujah. Some people expect surprises in life. They want to be surprised. Life is not a surprise. Are you in this place? Nothing happens by surprise. If a woman is pregnant, say, I'm surprised. That's not how it happens. So the beginning of life is not a surprise. You're living your life is not a surprise. Some people want to be shocked. They believe that by the time they've said, nobody can help me now. Nobody can help me. Then they want to be surprised when someone helps them. So I was even surprised though. Me that we say nobody can help me. But look at their life. Nobody would help them because life is not a surprise. God doesn't want you to live by coincidence. If you live by coincidence, you're going to die by coincidence. Why? Because you don't know what's happening. Even if something happens by coincidence, God expects you to know the principle so you can sustain it. Now, you don't know how you got hostel when the other person is getting hostel. You did not remember that before you left home, you said, they'll give me hostel, Sha. You don't remember you said that. And for some reason, they gave you. Now, you think it happened by coincidence. Not by coincidence. God wants you to remember the principle. So that next time you need something, you remember what you did that made you get hostel, so you do it again.
Yes, Pastor.
So I walk in favor.
You
had better say that. Have you ever heard this statement? This life, no balance. Have you heard it before? It's true. This life, no balance. When I'm in the up. High side. It's true. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is our advantage. God admits that this life, all fingers are not equal. He's the one that created the fingers. But he wants you to be at the top. And you'll be at the top by saying something. Speaking your way to the top. And don't be apologetic about it. Last example before we close. Talking about speaking. Do you know Jesus was life himself? Do you know Jesus was life himself? How do you kill life? How? Someone is life. How do you kill life? The idea is if you kill someone, then you put life, the person should come back. So how do you kill life? So you see that it would have been very difficult for anybody to kill Jesus. Very difficult. So you know what he started doing? You won't believe it. He started speaking his own death. He would call his disciples together and said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They will beat me. They will kill me. They will bury me. But in 3 days, I will rise. He wasn't telling them because they understood. The Bible says they didn't understand what he was saying. The first time he said it, the Bible says Peter took him aside and warned him. Say, don't say that again. This shall not be unto you. He was now quoting scripture over Jesus. You shall live and not die. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. So when he was telling them, here's my point, they didn't understand what he was saying. So the question is, why was he telling them? He was declaring it. Because he knew if he did not say it, it will not happen. The next time he said it, after he rebuked Peter, the Bible says they were very sad. When he said they'll kill me, they were very sad. He said, 3 days I will rise. To prove that they did not understand anything he was saying. The day he resurrected and they told them, they didn't believe it. But he had been saying, after 3 days I will rise. After 3 days, they should have counted 1, 2, 3. Today we are expecting him. But they didn't believe it. So why was he telling them? He was declaring it. Do you know when they came to arrest him? The Bible says in John 18, he went out and said, whom seek ye? Who are you looking for? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. The Bible, he said, I am he. The Bible says all of them fell under the power. I'm telling you, it would have been difficult, impossible for them to kill Jesus if he did not talk. Wow. So by talking, I can make an impossible situation become possible. That's what it means. I can. They say in that company, they're only employing Yoruba people. Or even if they employ you, only Yoruba people are in level 7 and above. Then you now say, since I'm not Yoruba, I don't understand why this life is wrong confession. By speaking, you can make impossible situations become possible. If that is the company you like, listen, the Bible says God gave the world to Abraham, and you are Abraham's seed. If that is the company you like, you start saying by the time I'm ready, that law will be disintegrated. The person in charge of that tribalism, they would have sacked him. No, that's what you say. That's what you say. Don't go around acting as though your father is not God. And then you go around, you're looking beggarly. Everything, you are just managing, you are pushing it. You are just there. No, that's not how Jesus talked. That is not how you should talk. The Bible says in John 18, when they fell down, Jesus stood, waited for them to get up. They got up, now they were confused. They didn't know what to do. And they were a multitude. That's what the Bible said. They were a multitude. When they got up, Jesus asked them, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I have told you I'm the one. You see that he was ready to die. It was based on what he had been saying. That's why they could take him. And then they took him. But you know what? I love him so much. He didn't just end in death. He didn't say they will kill me. And by the grace of God, if God wills, I will come out. No. He said he also declared his resurrection. He said, in 3 days, I will rise. In 3 days, I will rise. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In 3 days, I will rise. And you know what? After the third day, do you want to hear something before I close? Pay attention to me. I want to tell you how angels are active with what you say. Are you in this place? I'm closing. This is the most important thing you should listen to. Jesus said, are you paying attention to me?
Yes,
if Satan is reminding you of beans, tell Satan to get out. I have something important I want to share with you. Jesus would tell them, I'm about to be killed. I'll be buried. After 3 days, I would rise. While he was talking to them, he didn't say, Angel Gabriel, are you hearing me now? After 3 days, so he didn't say anything like that. He just told them, I'll be buried. After 3 days, I would rise. And remember, when they buried him, they put him in a tomb. And the Bible says, they placed a stone and sealed the tomb. You know how they sealed the tomb with a stone? They dug. Do you understand? Dig really deep. Then they placed the stone inside and then they covered it. So it's not even possible for you to start moving the stone. Do you understand? So they dug and they kept the stone. But the Bible says the day he resurrected, an angel came from heaven and there was an earthquake. And that stone was what? Rolled away. While he was confessing, he didn't say, in 3 days, I will get up, they will start pushing stone. That's not what he said. But based on what he had confessed, after 3 days, I would rise. The angel had to show up and push that stone away. And then I'll show you. Go to Mark. Luke 24. Quickly. Quickly. 24 verse 6. When people think working with angels means commanding them, Angel Michael, fight for me. Ain't happening. Angel Michael is cruising. Verse 6. If you're there, say, I'm there.
Yeah.
Luke 24 verse 6. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Verse 6, I read it. This is after his resurrection. Okay. Let's start from verse 4 so you get it in context. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Wait, though. That means while Jesus was talking, these angels were listening. Are you seeing it? They were listening. They knew after 3 days we have job to do. They knew. Let's finish this. Verse
6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. That means when they delivered him, that's why the angels did not do anything extra, because they had heard what he said. Now you go and say, this place is man no man. If you don't know anybody in government, you will not succeed. Why should the angels help you when they have heard what you have been saying? Let's finish this. Verse 7. He says, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So they were keeping notes. When he was arrested, they knew this is not our time to do anything. When he was crucified, they knew this is not our time to do anything. The first day, they knew it was not time to roll the stone away. The second day, they knew it was not time. The third day, they knew now it is time. And the Bible says the angel descended and rolled the stone away. Listen, when you start saying I'm favored everywhere, wherever your CV drops, there will be an angel there to put your CV in front. But how will they work with you when you say, is man no man? Then they'll have to work with your word. And you now say you don't know anybody. You're finished. You get no assistance. But you want to live the life that you would enjoy? It's in your mouth. If salvation from hell was in your mouth, then salvation from suffering is in your mouth. Salvation from sickness is in your mouth. Salvation from hardship is in your mouth. So I walk in favor.
I dwell in health.
I'm never confused. You have to learn to talk. Say, I have a sound mind. I'm full of wisdom. You're not a stupid person. Don't talk like that. You're not a stupid person. Say,
I understand deep mysteries.
Don't go and be saying math inside, I don't understand it. That's why it's hard. No, look at the guy who has been passing. They bring a problem, but he say, bring it simple. Bring it simple. And you know what? It will be simple for him. So this life is hard. No, this life is easy for me. I experience favor and grace.